Translation: within the womb of Devaki is my partial plenary expansion known as Shankarshan or Shesha. Without difficulty transfer him into the womb of Rohini. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The first plenary expansion of Krishna is Baladev, also known as Shesha. The Shesha incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead supports the entire universe, and the eternal mother of this incarnation is Mother Rohini. Because I am going into the womb of Devaki, the Lord told Yogamaya, the Shesha incarnation has already gone there and made suitable arrangements so that I may live there. Now he should enter the womb of Rohini, his eternal mother. In this connection, one may ask how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always situated transcendentally, could enter the womb of Devaki, which had previously been entered by the six Asuras, the Sadgarbhas. Does this mean that the Sadgarbhasuras were equal to the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The following answer is given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura. The entire creation, as well as its individual parts, is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, even though the Lord enters the material world, he does not do so. This is explained by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 9:4-5. Mayata dami dam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina makstani sarvabhutani nacham teshuva vasritaha nachamatstani bhutani pashyam me yogam aishvaram bhuta brin nacha bhuta sto mamakt ma bhuta bhavanaha. By me, my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervading, or pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, myself is the very source of creation. Sarva Kalav Idam Brahma. Everything is an expansion of Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet everything is not the Supreme Godhead, and he is not everywhere. Everything rests upon him, and yet does not rest upon him. This can be explained only by the Achintya Bheda Bheda philosophy. Such truths cannot be understood, however, unless one is a pure devotee, for the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktyamam Abhijanati Yavanyas Chasmitatvataha. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. Even though the Lord cannot be understood by ordinary persons, this principle should be understood from the statements of the Shastras. A pure devotee is always transcendentally situated because of executing 9 different processes of Bhakti Yoga: Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Padasevanam, Arshanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakyam Atmanivedanam. Thus, situated in devotional service, a devotee, although in the material world, is not in the material world. Yet a devotee always fears, because I am associated with the material world, so many contaminations affect me. Therefore, he is always alert in fear, which gradually diminishes his material association. Symbolically, Mother Devaki's constant fear of Kamsa was purifying her. A pure devotee should always fear material association, and in this way all the asuras of material association will be killed, as the Sadgarbhasuras were killed by Kamsa. It is said that from the mind Marichi appears. In other words, Marichi is an incarnation of the mind. Marichi has 6 sons: Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in pure devotional service. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Bhaktir evainam darshayati. Only bhakti can bring one in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Devaki, and therefore Devaki symbolically represents bhakti, and Kamsa symbolically represents material fear. When a pure devotee always fears material association, his real position of bhakti is manifested, and he naturally becomes uninterested in material enjoyment. When the six sons of Marichi are killed by such fear, and one is freed from material contamination within the womb of bhakti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears. Thus, the seventh pregnancy of Devaki signifies the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After this, after the six sons of Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya are killed, the Sesha incarnation creates a suitable situation for the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, when one awakens his natural Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna appears. This is the explanation given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Omigan timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam jena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Upab Kramayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Hina Bando Jigatpate Gopi Sha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vanishvari Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Dvaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this verse is nicely explaining how Krishna appears in the life of a devotee. Well, first paragraph is relating to how Lord Balaram serves Lord Krishna. So this is the difference between the spiritual world and the material world. The material world is a place where everybody is serving themselves. The service is towards oneself. And the spiritual world is where everybody is serving one another. So we see that you know, the material world is full of everything. It's got everything we need. But there's a shortage. There's too many people on the planet. Is that right? I've got to get rid of a few, you know. And that's what they're trying to do, I think. But actually, Prabhupada said this planet can feed, you know, many, many more times than, 10 times, 20 times. So the shortage is selfishness. When we're selfish, then there's a sort of shortage of relationship. There's a shortage. Some people have, you know, more than others, and therefore there's shortage in some particular situation. And then there's wastage. So everything is actually spiraling down. In the spiritual world, everything is the opposite way around. Everybody's giving, so there's no shortage. Even if we give, we get. So everything's going the other way. Everything's diminishing in the material world, and everything's expanding in the spiritual world. So similarly, this is a process of devotional service, is to is to learn this art of giving instead of taking. And so this is a devotional service is a process of developing faith. Ado Shraddha in the beginning, there's some faith. But that faith is gradually increasing as we become more dependent on Krishna. Krishna's organizing the situation, so automatically we have to take the next step, we have to go the extra few yards. We can't remain in the comfort zone, we're always being pushed a little bit further. And by that process, we're gradually becoming more and more dependent and more convinced that Krishna is our well-wisher. And so that process will expand and expand until eventually we're completely convinced. And when we're completely convinced, then we can fully engage in devotional service without any personal fear. What does it say in the Bhagavad Gita? That, you know, I forget the verse now, we become free from all fear for gain and safety, and we become established in the self. Is that right? We're fearful that we'll, you know, somehow we'll miss out, somehow we won't get, or our, even on a subtler level, that we won't be, subtle needs won't be satisfied. These are the most important ones, actually. You know, the needs of the soul, ultimately, the needs of the mind, the needs of the body, and ultimately, the needs of the soul. So this is the soul's ananda maya biasat. We're constantly searching for that pleasure, and the fear is that we won't get it. This brings so many bad qualities when we're in that frame of mind. But devotional service means depending on Krishna, and then gradually we realize that everything's there, we don't have to worry, and this is what we call ultimate peace. Desires may come, but they don't change our consciousness. We're satisfied. So Lord Balaram is giving us the example of how to do that by service, by serving one another. Everything we do should be in a service attitude, whether we're a leader or a follower. It's like I went to the AGM meeting for the morning, and Vishwambhav reminded me. So I went there were some presentations, and Bhajahari gave a presentation about Harinam. And he was saying how, you know, he had a hard time in his devotional service, and he prayed to Krishna, and Krishna put him into a more harder time. It's not that, you know, all of a sudden everything falls into place, and by a result of that difficulty, he took more shelter of Krishna, and in the way of Harinam, and he said his life's never been the same. He said he's regained all his new, all his old enthusiasm, and he wanted to impress that upon the leaders. And so he was saying that he has a process where he has lollipops, and he'll go to somebody and give them a leaflet, and if they don't take the leaflet, he'll give them a lollipop. And he says people are bowled over with appreciation. They go, wow, oh, is that for me? Yeah, just a little bit of giving, and people are so, this is the spiritual world. And so that's what makes this is no different from the spiritual world, as we heard a few days ago, that, you know, Prabhupada used to see the spiritual world wherever he went, whereas he sees white where we see black, or vice versa. So this is the nature of a devotee. And so devotional service is a change of consciousness. You know, we are performing austerities according to Bhagavad Gita. What's that verse? Vishaya vinivartante, neharashideyam, raso varjam rasopiyasya, param drishva nivartate. That, you know, in the beginning we're trying very hard to practice devotional service because it's not natural, we're conditioned. But, you know, by this process of giving, eventually we get the taste, and then there's no difficulty. So this is the mode of goodness. Devotional service starts with the mode of goodness. It's not doing what we want to do. You know, that's the general tendency. Whatever we want to do, we're affronted if it's not what we want to do. But we do what is necessary and this is the mode of goodness, and it's painful. But if we do that, eventually it becomes nectar. We do what we want to do, and eventually it becomes poison. So, you know, when we're experiencing some resistance in devotional service, it means that maybe we're not doing what is needed, we're doing what we want to do. So Lord Balaram is an avaduta, or Lord Nityananda's expansion is an avaduta. He's always in spiritual bliss. So we can also be in that spiritual bliss by taking shelter of Lord Nityananda, Lord Balaram. Why do we take shelter of somebody? We take shelter of their instructions and their example. So, Jesus Christ, what did Jesus Christ say about this? He said, "My cup runneth over." Has anybody ever felt that sometimes when we really make an effort to do some service? It's like, wow, there's nothing better. Everything's there. You know, I'm completely satisfied. I've just been through so much, like this marathon, so much austerity, and yet I feel satisfied. My cup runneth over. So, yeah, Krishna, we'll read on a little bit. So, yeah, Krishna's in this material world. We can't see, we can't understand Krishna by just philosophy. Is that right? Can we? We can understand him to some degree, but actually Krishna's beyond any philosophy. I had a class the other day, I forget what it was, you were saying, can Krishna create something that he can't lift? What is it in class here? Was it? And so he always talking to some Christians, I think. Who was it now? Hey? And so, you know, they will be, well, that's a good question, yeah. And so, yes, he can create something which he can't lift, but then he lifts it. And so this doesn't make sense. So similarly, if we try to understand Krishna by philosophy, then at some point we'll become bewildered and disturbed. The philosophy is there to get us started, and it's there to get other people started. But the real taste for devotional service comes in service. Bhaktya mam abhijnati yavanyas chasmi tatvata tatvadatvaho gadva vishate tad anantaram. Then we can enter into the kingdom of God. Immediately we perform service. So that which is, what is that verse in the, is it the Satgurus? Brahma Samhita. Vedeshi Durabham Adurabham Atma Bhakto. You know, it can be understood by the Ved, Vedeshi Durabham, but very difficult. But Atma Bhakto, by the endeavour of a devotee, very easily. So, you know, we're reading here about something which is like really basic. You know, how can, you know, what's Krishna doing appearing in the same womb as these, you know, these asuras? But, you know, does Krishna really appear in the womb? He's like the sun. Krishna doesn't appear in the womb. Immaculate birth. When Lord Chaitanya appeared, there's that song about how he's the moon rising out of the, in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita. He's rising out of the ocean. But any fool knows that this, you know, the moon doesn't rise out of the ocean. So similarly, Krishna, you know, Krishna's not associating with any garbhas. It's a pastime. This is the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We say that in Bhagavad Gita it mentions, does Krishna, who's more merciful, Krishna or his devotees? His devotees. Everybody agree with that? That's what it says, isn't it? Well, you know, Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can we be more merciful than Krishna? We can see here how merciful Krishna is, actually. That, you know, we read in the Gaunadesha Dipika about these pastimes, Krishna pastimes related to Chaitanya Leela. And we see that when Krishna appears, and when Lord Chaitanya appears, you know, there's no ordinary person in those pastimes. They're all like manjaris, and they're all, you know, they're all very elevated living entities. And so this is Krishna's mercy. He brings all his entourage from the spiritual world just for the benefit of conditioned souls. And, you know, he creates all these shastras, you know, too complicated to even try to understand, just for the deliverance of the conditioned souls. He makes the material world just for the deliverance of the conditioned souls. And then he gives all the credit to the devotees. You know, he's created all this. And then he says, but don't disturb them. But the devotees are more intelligent. They realize this fact that Krishna is providing everything solely to deliver people from this material world. Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So yeah, we have to see that ultimately Krishna's swarat, everything's, he doesn't have to do anything. But this is a difference between a conditioned soul or one who's performing devotional service in this world. It's for our benefit to perform devotional service. It's not like we are saving the whole world. In the beginning of devotional service, there's enthusiasm, utsamayi. You know, we're given so much shakti by Krishna, it's unbelievable. And there's so much mercy going out. We're given so much mercy, it's unbelievable. But I say, we are getting the mercy. Utsamayi means we don't see things properly. And later on, of course, we start to realize that, you know, maybe Krishna's involved in the situation also. Krishna's giving the mercy so we can preach. Krishna's giving the mercy. So it's actually Krishna is more merciful than the devotees in that respect. But the devotee's mercy is that he agrees to become a servant, just like Balaram. He agrees to become that conduit by which we can give devotional service to others. So a few things about this verse I wanted to say, because it's quite long, but I'll not say too much because we have to speak a little bit on Jiva Goswami. It's his disappearance day today. So a little bit about fear. Fear in the material world means fear for the body. The body's temporary, so if the body's gone, we're finished. So that's big fear. That's contrary to the nature of the soul. What's fear in spiritual life? Fear in spiritual life means we may be fearful of the body, but we're more fearful of our spiritual life. We're more fearful of the material energy. This is a healthy sign. If we're not fearful of the material energy, it means that maybe we're not in such good consciousness. And because we're not fearful, we'll get into all kinds of difficulty. That's what Prabhupada said about his disciples, that the truly you, Western disciples, you're not sufficiently fearful of Maya. So to be fearful of the material energy is actually a healthy sign, providing we take shelter of Lord Krishna. So here it lies, Lord Kamsa, I think we heard from Ananda Chaitanya about this a few classes ago. How bhakti will only come into the heart when we're sufficiently purified. And we're sufficiently purified when we don't want any more material enjoyment, when we're fearful of material enjoyment. In Bhagavad Gita, it says this material enjoyment is actually the enemy of the conditioned soul. If we feel any satisfaction from material enjoyment, then that's our enemy, because it'll increase. So this bhakti will come when we're fearful of the material energy. We're not necessarily a pure devotee. But just refraining from that engagement with the mind, body and words, then bhakti can gradually come into the sphere of activities of the devotee. And that fear is fear of so many things in this material world. Ultimately, it says it's kamsa. Kamsa is the embodiment of fear. So this is a nice analogy, that if we want Krishna to appear in our life, we don't want to have too much of an easy time. You know, devotional service is very nice, but there's always that little bit of trepidation. Has anybody noticed that? You just cannot relax completely. You can have a good time with it, but then you think, now we have to, you know, wait a minute, we've got to be a little bit sober as well. So, anyway, we'll stop on that particular point. Okay. So, time is running out. Time is running out. Lots of young faces in here. I almost like that. You know, time goes very quick. So we should really take advantage of what Lord Krishna has given us very seriously. And very quickly, Prabhupada says we can come to that stage of being, Vishaya Vanivartante, Param Drishvar, the higher taste. That's what we're trying to achieve. So Jiva Goswami's disappearance day. So Jiva Goswami was Vilas Manjari in Vrindavan. So the Manjaris are actually they're very young girls who sort of make all arrangements for Krishna, Radha and Krishna's pleasure, and the Sakis. They don't engage in any relationship with Krishna directly, but they make all provision for Krishna's satisfaction. So we see that actually in our Sampradaya. This is preaching, isn't it? You know, there's Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and many others. They're actually in this mood of Manjari. That means that making all facility for others to enjoy devotional service. So this is Lord Chaitanya's Sangatan movement. A devotee who's making all facility for others to enjoy Lord Krishna's association. And so Jiva Goswami, he was born in 1511, and he's the son of Anupam. Anupam is one of the three brothers. Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami. So Rupa and Sanatan, they were devotees of Lord Krishna, and Anupam, he was a devotee of Lord Rama, actually. And while they were in, I think it was Rupa Goswami and Anupam, they were in Prayag, and by Lord Krishna's arrangement, he left his body, Anupam. And so that meant that Jiva Goswami was orphaned, or he didn't have a father. And so for some time, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they took him back to Faidyabad, I think it was, where his mother was residing. And they stayed with him for a while, but then they left. And it says that from that time on, both his mother and Jiva Goswami, there was constantly tears of separation from these two brothers. And so at that time, just before they left, Lord Chaitanya visited Faidyabad, and he visited Rupa and Sanatan, but he also gave mercy to Jiva Goswami. And he poured some dust on Jiva Goswami's head. And the Acharya said that this is indicative that Jiva Goswami would become the Acharya of the Vaishnavas. He would become the leader of the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan at that time, Navadweep and Orissa. And that came to pass actually many years later. And then of course Sanatan left and they went to Vrindavan. And Jiva Goswami then, as he was growing up, he was learning Shastra. He was very very quick to learn. And at some point he took shelter of Lord Nityananda. Now this is the first Navadweep Mandal Parikram. Jiva Goswami went to Navadweep, met Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda took him to his wife, Janava Devi, and she was getting old at that time, very frail, and immediately said, look after Prabhu, wash his feet. That was Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda had his feet washed, and then she welcomed Jiva Goswami and cooked an excellent feast for him. And after the feast, he was blessed by Janava Mata. And then Lord Nityananda took him on Navaweep Pandal Parikram. Has anybody been on this Parikram? Very nice Parikram. So much bliss. Go to all the places. Oh, no, it's Harinam all the way. It's not too hot. It's just, you know, the ground's becoming a little warm, but it's not too hot. In the morning, it's a little cool. But then as soon as you're walking for an hour or so, it becomes very warm. And then you go to all the places that of these pastimes in Navaraweep. You get Lord Chaitanya's mercy on that Parikram. So if anybody was going this year, anybody going this year to India? Nobody. You're going to Navaraweep? Very good. So then, what happened next? And of course, then during his youth, very early, he carved two deities of Radha and Krishna. These are first, Krishna and Balaram. These are first Krishna Balaram deities, as far as I know. And he used to sleep with these deities. He was so attached to them. And, you know, most people took it that he was just like a child, but, you know, not many people sleep with deities when they're young. What do they sleep with now? Teddy bears, is it? I remember my younger brother, he used to sleep with a gollywog. I don't know why. He just became attached. Anyway, become attached to so many stupid things in this world. Anyway, Jiva Goswami became attached to these two deities, and so he would never, you know, the young boys, they couldn't speak to him about anything else but devotional life. And then after he reached a certain age, Lord Chaitanya told him to go to Vrindavan to serve Rupa and Sanatan. And of course, on his way, he stayed at Banaras. And there he became a very good scholar by the mercy of Madhusudan Vajaspati. He was actually a disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the the spiritual master of the world as far as philosophy and learning. And Lord Chaitanya converted Sarvabhauma into a devotee. But his disciple was Madhusudan Vajaspati. And he taught Jiva Goswami everything he knew. He taught him about the six different types of philosophy. He taught him about, you know, how Sanskrit, full Sanskrit grammar. What else were they? Astrology. At that time, you learnt all the sciences, all the relevant sciences. And then, of course, after learning, he must have stayed for some time to learn all that. But on the way to Vrindavan, he became a scholar. And then he was ready for serving Jiva and Rupa Goswami. And used to do menial service, wash their feet, cook for them, and also edit. And eventually, as they grew older, he started writing books. And he became very, very proficient. And one day, there was one scholar, Vaishnav Vallabhacharya, an old scholar, and he criticized Rupa Goswami, criticized some of his work, and Jiva Goswami couldn't actually, he couldn't hold his, you know, he wanted to actually put his spiritual master back where he should be. I mean, that's a disciple's privilege to do that. If the spiritual master's defamed, then the disciple has to defend. So he wasn't doing anything wrong. And so he defeated Vallabhacharya. But Rupa Goswami, he wasn't satisfied with Jiva. He said, there's no place for pride in anybody to live in Vrindavan. Leave immediately. And so he went and lived a little bit out of Vrindavan in a crocodile hole. And he was only eating, flour and water, Ganges water and flour. And then eventually Sanatana said, you know, we're supposed to be merciful to all Jivas. Not just, you know, we're writing books for all these Jivas, and this poor Jiva Goswami there in this crocodile hole. And immediately Rupa Goswami understood. He said, okay, bring him back. But why did he do that? You know, it seems like Rupa Goswami is so cruel. It's not for his, you know, these are exalted souls, they don't make mistakes. So Prabhupada once said, he says, actually this is for our benefit. He says we shouldn't have pride, we shouldn't answer back unnecessarily. You know, to perform devotional service, Trinada, Peace and Ichena. A devotee has to cultivate this quality before anything else. In fact, Lord Chaitanya said that this verse we say every morning, Trinada, Peace and Ichena, we should wear it around the neck. Because unless we actually understand this point, we can't really chant. It's very difficult to chant the Hare Krishna mantra unless we develop this quality. And as soon as we start developing that quality, then we get the mercy. We get the mercy of the holy name. Rupa Goswami is our... We are Rupa Nugas, Prabhupada Nugas. Even all those 200 years ago, he was 400 years ago. He was teaching us how to become humble in devotional service. Because devotional service, it cannot manifest in a barren heart. You know, you try to sow seeds where there's stones and where there's weeds. It's very difficult. So they have to be cleared away. This is what this particular verse is speaking about, how to clear away the bad qualities in the heart. And then when the soil is fertile, we can plant the seed and we can water it by nicely chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So you've probably heard this before, that the word humility comes from the Latin word humus. And humus is, everybody knows nowadays with gardens, that you put humus there to make the soil very fertile. They call good soil humus, don't they? And so when seeds are planted in this humus and they're watered nicely, things grow very quickly. So when there's, humus, the word humility, when there's humility in the heart, we plant the seed of bhakti there, and then we water it by nicely chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, very quickly our devotional kripa will grow. Anyway, there's quite a bit to say about Jiva Goswami. It's... So basically, the Goswamis were Nana Shastra Vichara Naikanipano. The Goswamis were told by Lord Chaitanya to print books and distribute books. Now, this verse in the Goswami, Sad Goswami Astakam, second verse, says Nana Shastra Vichara Naikanipano, Sad Dharma Sanstarpako, Lokanam Hitakaranu Tribhuvane, Manyosha Ranya Karo. It means that for the benefit of all living entities, decipher the essence of all the scriptures and distribute it to the general public. So Jiva Goswami was the most prolific writer. He was even more prolific than his uncles, Rupa and Sanatan. And I think he wrote, is the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's called a Maha Purana, is it? He wrote 25 Maha Puranas. So that's quite a bit of writing. And the way he wrote them, it's not like he was spending a long time on each verse. Just like Prabhupada. Prabhupada, he was writing the Bhagavatam, and one of his disciples commented that he was writing very quickly. Because he was, they couldn't keep up with it, with the printing. And Prabhupada said, I can finish very quickly. He said, but I have to actually think about this very carefully so that you can understand. So even Jiva Goswami, when he was writing the books, they used to read on karachas at that time, leaves, and they used to write with a quill, ink. And he was writing very quickly, so quickly that he used to finish one side and the ink would be wet, so he'd put it down. He couldn't wait for it to dry and then turn it over. He put it down, then he wrote on the third side. And then by the time he got to the bottom of the third side, the ink had dried, and then he used to turn that side over and write on that side. And he said he used to compose in his mind without, he didn't have to write anything. He used to compose a verse completely in his mind and then write it down on paper. And he never made a mistake. He never had to alter anything. It was always word perfect. And he did this with many books. They're all written down here, but I'll not read them all out. But one of them was the Satsandarbhas. And at that time, there was a need to establish the Srimad Bhagavatam as a supreme scripture and Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. And so he went right from Western philosophy, Eastern philosophy. He proved that Eastern philosophy is more advanced, and he went on to, you know, the six different philosophies, and he proved that Karma Mimamsa Purva Mimamsa was the supreme philosophy. And from that he got, you know, Dvaita and Advaita, the monists and the devotees, and the theistic science was superior. And then eventually came down to proving Srimad Bhagavatam was the supreme scripture. And so the Sandarbhas are doing this. Tattva Sandarbha. I'll just read it out, the different Sandarbhas. When we read these Sandarbhas, it really makes us appreciative of what the Goswami, all the work that Jiva Goswami did to establish Srimad Bhagavatam. Here we are. First is the Tattva Sandarbha, which has two divisions, the Pramanas. What are the means of attaining knowledge and the evidence to support that means? So that's the first beginning. When somebody says something to you, where do you get that from? Who says? So his step first thing is the Tattva Sandarbha. And then, so what are we trying to learn? This is the other subject matter of Tattva Sandarbha. So we can see the very, very organized, very methodical. And then the Seng Sandarbha is called the Bhagavat Sandarbha. This is about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his associates. So now we know where we're going. What are we trying to achieve? Then the Paramatma Sandarbha. It talks about what's stopping us from achieving that, about the nature of this material world, Maya. And how Krishna, this is called the Paramatma Sandarbha, Krishna in the heart. Krishna is inspiring us from within to achieve that goal. Then the fourth one is Krishna Sandarbha. Why Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Why is the object of loving service? Then Bhakti Sandarbha. Many people will stop in the street, you know, why is Krishna God? Why should I serve God? These are all natural questions. Bhakti Sandarbha establishes the path of devotion as a sole means to direct realization. So actually Prabhupada, many times throughout his books, he's establishing, you know, don't bother about this process, don't bother about that process. Take to the process of Bhakti Yoga only. And finally, the Priti Sandarbha. He analyzes that Prema Bhakti is the ultimate goal of devotional service. So, so we owe everything to the previous acharyas, especially in this respect. Today is the day to celebrate Srila Jiva Goswami's disappearance. Srila Jiva Goswami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. It's